This is the Redeemed Christian Church of God, More Than Conqueror Parish.
Father, we thank you. Thank you for miracles. Thank you. Because there is something about your name. There is something about your presence. There is just something about your voice. There is something about your spirit. There is something about your word. There is something about your word. There is something about your word. There is something when you touch the life of a man, that man can never recover from the greatness that proceeds from it. That's why I say, please touch me. Touch me. Touch me. There is something about your fire that when it enters the heart of a young man, it sets his heart ablaze. Jeremiah said, thy word is like fire in my bone. Now I know what Jeremiah means. There is something. There is something. There is something about your glory that wipes all tears away. We thank you for answered prayer. For in Jesus' mighty name, we have worship. Please take your seat. So in the next few minutes. Now, Romans chapter, please, if you can just continue with that, Brother Daniel, God bless you. James chapter 1. And again, we'll read from verse 1. Quick.
James, the servant of God, and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting.
My brethren, count it all joy.
When you fall into diverse temptation.
If perhaps you fall into temptation, count it all joy. Go ahead, sir.
Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that the Lord shall that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let a brother of low degree rejoice, in that he is exalted. But the rich, in that he is made low, because as a flower of the grass, it shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with the body heat, but it withereth the grass.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Because of time, count it all joy. Part 2. Like I mentioned in the morning, Brother James, there was persecution. And so God sent him, gave him this epistle to write unto the 12 tribes. They were all scattered abroad. There was problem. They were persecuted because of things. Now, if you look at this, so the brethren were faced at that time with temptation. You see, I began to understand the temptation that God was talking about here in James chapter 1. What was the temptation? The temptation of leaving God, of abandoning God. Because remember, they were faced with a series of persecution. There were problems. Many of them were, in fact, many has been killed already. So many of them were faced. There were doubts. There were dilemma, questions in their mind. And then God decided to give Brother James this epistle and say, write to the 12 tribes that are scattered abroad. Tell them. That count it all joy. Look at this, the scripture that our sister quoted. That, and we know that all things. Now you can also see here. Count it all joy. Now, God is interested in every details of our life. So at that time, the apostles felt that, it looks like God had abandoned them. I want you to tell yourself, God is interested in every details of my life. Say it as if it may say, God is interested in every details of my life. That means he's interested in your marriage. Young brothers, young sister, God is interested in who you get married to. He's not just concerned about you coming to church, shakrabatatatata. No. He's concerned about everything. He's concerned about your studies. He's concerned about your finance. He's concerned about your children. He's concerned about your wife. Everything he has them in mind. So this is a message from God to them. It was an aftermath of the attack or the persecution. Now let's move on. There are two things that God wanted to register in mind as we get ready to pray. Number one, the first thing, God loves you. Just let that one sink in your mind. Don't look at the prevailing circumstance right now. Just let it sink inside here that God loves me. You might say, does God really love me? I know he loves you. So I want you to say to yourself, quietly, say, God loves me. 7 times. So, go ahead. Say it as if you mean it. God loves me! You might say, does he really love you? Yes, he does. You see, oftentimes we misinterpreted the love of God. And I was glad that our sister's testimony already touched a bit on this. The fact that God answers your prayer now doesn't mean that God just began to love you. Oftentimes we think, you prayed, you received your miracle. That is a sign that God, no, far from me. He has loved you before you were conceived. So sometimes we misinterpret what God's love. We think it's only when we bought a car, when we bought a house, when great things happen, and then we say, I know my God loves me. But when there's one challenge, I'm not sure God loves me. No, that is not the kind of love that he has. So don't misinterpret God's love. Now let's look at Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Romans 5, verse 8. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. We are looking at count it all joy, part 2. Count it all joy. Romans 5, verse 8.
For God commanded his love toward us. In that,
while we were yet sinners,
Christ died for us.
When you were wallowing in sin and enjoying sin, he loves you. So don't think it's because, now you decide to be coming to church, because now you are born again, because now you are saved, because you are saved, that's why God loves. No, before you even think of serving him, he already loved you. I want you to rise up on your feet and say, Father, thank you for loving me. His love is there. It's the situation that's making you feel as if he doesn't love you. Rise up and say, Father, thank you for loving me. Count it all joy. There is something about your name. Let it sink in. Let it sink in. He loves you. I know he loves you. I know he loves me. You see, it is only a wicked father or a wicked mother that will not love his own children. Forget about the prevailing circumstances right now. Don't let them dictate to you. Before you were formed in your mother's womb, he loved you. Thank you, Father, for loving me. For in Jesus' mighty name we are praying. We have very limited time. Please take your seat. But make sure you are getting something. Make sure you are paying attention. Taking note. How do I know that God loves you? Again, while you were here, sin, I died for you. How else do I know that he loves you? The breath in you is a proof that God still loves you. The fact that you are still alive. You can breathe, you can move, you can see, you are among the living, you are among the saints, is a proof of God's love towards you. You might say, if he loves me, hey, why is this what happening? Let's leave that one. What is important is that it's because you are alive. That's why you can think of that problem. If the breath is not there, you can't think about money, you can't think about house, you can't think about clothes, you can't think about writing paper, you can't think about work. It is because you have breath. That's why you can think about those things. So once again, I want to wave your hand and say, Lord, thank you for loving me. Just wave those hands to him. Wave it well. Wave it well. Wave it well. I like those beautiful hands. Wave it well. He loves you anyway. I know he loves you. Thank him for loving you. You have breath. He loves you. Thank you. Now, count it all joy, no matter what you are going through. God sending his only begotten son, Jesus, to die for you so that you might reign with him in eternity is also another proof of God's love towards you. The fact that Jesus could depart his glory and became a man, beaten, he suffered many afflictions, is a proof of his love. He was beaten, wounded. He was accused of what he doesn't know about. Just for you and I, it's a proof that he loves you. So count it all joy. Count it all joy. Count it. It doesn't matter what you count it all joy. There's a God that loves you. He's your creator. He's your father. He sent Jesus Christ to die for you, to take away your sin, to give you a place, to carve a place for you in eternity. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you because my son, David, Okpoyemi is coming. He has a spot here. And then you put your name too. It's a proof of his love. So count it all joy. Count it all joy. How do I know that God loves you? I will tell you another one. Come with me to Matthew chapter 5. So that you can have answers to give to the devil when he comes around you. You can have good answers to say, devil, listen. Here are some evidence to prove that God loves me. Matthew chapter 5, verse 45. Do you know? See the sun. Just look at outside. That's the sun. It's not only reserved for the righteous. The wicked people, the drug dealers in this community, they enjoy the sun. It's a proof of God's love. Go ahead, sir. You see, you walk into a superstore and you find you have food to buy. Let's go back to basics. If God did not allow rain, if God will not allow snow to fall that turns into water and then wet the ground, you know what? There will not be plants. And when there's no plant, there's no food. And when there's no food, our animals will die. It's a proof that he loves you. Once again, raise up your hand and say, Father, thank you for loving me. Would you wave off your hand and say, Father, thank you for loving me? Don't allow that situation to determine. The sun is shining. Look at the sun. It's a proof that he loves you. He did not say, well, there is ISIS in Iraq. Let me close the sun. No more sun all over the world. No, ISIS is still enjoying sun now. That tells you the depth of his love. Oh, yeah, no. Ekatoto. Thank you, Father, for loving me. No wonder the songwriter said, Jesus, you love me too much. Too much excess love. Thank you. Number two. two things that you should be, that should be registered in your mind as we look at this study this afternoon. Be persuaded. Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, verse 38. Be persuaded. You can't change the mind of a man who is persuaded. His mind is not easily changed. You say, devil, even though you are doing all these things to me and my family, I know that God is, I'm persuaded that God is with me. Even though I pray and the answer is not yet here, I know, I'm persuaded that God hears because he created the ears. I'm just persuaded of one thing, that God is with me. Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Verse 38. For I am persuaded. I am convinced. Can I ask you, what are you persuaded of? What is your persuasion? What are you persuaded about? What, just tell me, what are you persuaded about right now? Because for him, he said, I am persuaded, meaning that I already made up my mind. The mind is made up. I know that he loves me. For I am persuaded that neither death, no wonder. That's exactly what these three Hebrew boys saw. They were persuaded. Be persuaded and know that, count it all joy, all things are working together for your good. Oh, your parents sent you to school to go and study biology, and they want you to work as a biologist or whatever, laboratory, whatever thing, and you are working in a different place now. Count it all joy. Oh, maybe as a sister, you are saying, no brother is even saying hello. Don't worry, God is reserving the best brother. The best one. The best one. You see, God is keeping the mouth of others, because those ones are like, when you are traveling, you see many signs on the road. But there are some stop signs that you will see. You know, toll gate. When you get there, you have to stop. So when the stop sign comes, you will know you have to stop on this one. So be persuaded. Just be persuaded. Be persuaded. He said, for I'm persuaded that neither death. A story was told about how in a church service like this, and that will not happen to us. To know people that are persuaded. People can say, oh, I love God, I'm a child of God. When they are faced with death, we know. When the story was told, our senior pastor shared that story. How in a service, in maybe some part of India, some gunmen just walked in. And before you know it, everybody was taking shelter. The one that could fly, window fly, and that they want to know that the ones that are true Christian. And so that was only a handful of the church that stood and said, for God, we already made up our mind, we are going to wait for Christ. So death could not scare them. That was what Paul saw. And Paul said, I am persuaded that not even death. You know, sometimes I ask myself, what is it that enter into Boko Haram 11 years old girl to carry bomb and to go and pieces herself? She was persuaded. As Christian, what are we persuaded about? We are not ready to lay down our life. We are not ready. The song Amazing Grace, the story behind it was a man who laid down his own life, his wife, and his children. for the gospel. Amazing grace. So can I ask you this afternoon, what are you persuaded of? Are you persuaded? Persuaded that God is with you. So that means you cannot sink. That's why he said in the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, Isaiah chapter 43, when you pass through the waters, Isaiah 43, verse 2, read for us.
When thou passest through the
water. Actually, sir, let's read together. Every one of us. Isaiah 43. Let this word go back home and meditate on what you heard in the morning. Meditate on what you are hearing now. Find a spot and just let it sink inside that God loves me. Isaiah 42. 43 from verse 2. Once you go. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Look at verse 4. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable. I have loved thee. Wait, before we read verse 5. Well, maybe this is where we are going to stop. But I have loved thee. You see, when we were in school, my wife was traveling to Lagos. Then she wasn't my wife. She was traveling to Lagos. She was the one that shared the story. She was supposed to board a particular bus to Lagos. But for some reason, she had this strong impression in her mind to forget about that journey that evening. Is it that? No. Or maybe a different bus? A different bus, yes. No, not that she forgot. A different bus. So, for some reason, she just left that bus. And another man sat on her spot. A woman. Another woman sat on her spot. And they embarked on the journey. We were told that just few minutes before getting to maybe Lagos, somewhere in the Sagamu in the Ogun State, Nigeria, that vehicle had an accident. And the man that sat on that spot died. That was the spot that she was supposed to sit on. He gave Egypt for the ransom. You see, because of the way God so much loved you, he can kill other people to keep you alive. It is there in the Bible. He gave Egypt for your ransom. He killed all the firstborn of Egypt just to redeem Israel out. So tell me, would God not go any length to redeem your life? He will go any length. Tell your neighbor, God will go any length to redeem your life. Now, we'll read verse 5 together. 1, 2, go. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. Now, Brother James says something very important that I want us to pay attention to. He said it in verse 4. He said, be patient. So when you are going through trial, perfection will not come only by prayer. You can pray. Pray and say, Lord, I want this, and it to be done. But you want to be perfected. One of the way God have designed it for us to be perfected is through trials. That's why James said, count it all joy. Because the trying of your faith, what will it do? It will work out patient in you. Many of you are not patient. And so God will allow you to go through some waters. And say, okay, I know, because I'm going to make him president tomorrow.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And so shall it be for you.
Amen.
So because I'm going to make him president tomorrow, I want him, let me just, God will say, Satan, just give some space for some time. Let him go through that trial. At that time, what God is fine-tuning you, making you better. That was what he did to Moses. He had a plan of using Moses, but Moses wanted to do it by his own strength. And what God had to do was that he allowed him to go and learn how to control sheep. It was a teaching practice for him because he was coming to lead another sheep in the future. So it's a teaching practice. So the same way, when you pass through the water, he has promised you, he is there with you. It's not that he's just coming. He's not going to be late. You see, before you enter the water, he's there. Before you get inside that fire, he's already there. So that's why Paul said, for him, he was persuaded. So one strategy to living that life of overcomer is to be patient. Be patient. Number two, ask for wisdom. James told them, ask for wisdom. Many of you, when you are going through things, you don't ask. You keep them to yourself. Oh, I can figure it out. You see, my question is, why would God design men to be around you and people around you? You see, there are some time that we are praying, God speaks. The answer to that prayer is in that brother sitting next to you. It could just be, hello, hello, how was school? And the next conversation gives answer to your problem. That's the same way God works. Oftentimes we want God to just appear and say, this is the solution. No. It could come by just chatting. It could come by as you are listening to the word of God now. It could come as you are listening to songs. It comes in diverse ways. So, ask for wisdom. Ask for it. God gives it to everyone. Everyone here, you're a student, God will fill you with wisdom. Amen. I say God will fill you with wisdom. Amen. Number three, strategies to overcoming, to living an overcomer's life. How can you count it all joy in the midst of challenges? Endure temptation. Tell your neighbor, endure temptation. You see, to endure temptation, that we can see in that verse 12 to 15, it doesn't mean that you should yield to temptation. Every man is vulnerable to temptation. Every man. I am vulnerable, you are vulnerable. Maybe perhaps I'm even the most vulnerable. Yes, men of God are most vulnerable to temptation. So everyone, don't say you are the only one having, you know, faced with temptation. Everyone is doing, everyone is being faced with. But you see, don't yield. Don't yield. Temptation to, you know, maybe temptation to slap that person. Wah! Restrain yourself. Temptation to take a legal action against your fellow believer. Restrain yourself. Temptation to lie to God or to the servant of God. Restrain yourself. Temptation as you to sleep with that sister. She says she's the one offering herself. It's not my fault. Resist the temptation. Or as a brother. I mean, as a sister. I say, hey, well, he's been very nice to me. He buys shoe for me. He bought candy. Your dignity is much more than those shoes. Endure temptation. Endure it. In your place of work, they say, bro, now that you're in the managerial role, there's some quick way I can show you to get some extra dollar. Resist the temptation. Resist it. Say, no, I will not be part of this evil. I will not. Or maybe some sister say, can you offer me a ride? Just to Pembina. You know, you don't know their scope and their definition. Brothers, resist the temptation. Say, I'm sorry, I can't offer you a ride. Resist it. You see, the Bible says, endure. What is it? It doesn't mean that, oh, that you don't yield to temptation. Everyone faces temptation. Everyone. Walk by faith. Things around you may tell you that it doesn't make sense now. You see, God always makes sense and faith always makes sense. God always makes sense and faith always makes sense. And lastly, be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. This part is missing, fast missing in our generation. Before people hear the conclusion of the matter, they already make their decision. Did you hear that, Sister F? I know it, I know it. You've not even heard of the whole matter. You know it. You know what? What did you do about it? What did you do? Be swift to hear. You are going through challenges. Be swift to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Rise up on your feet. Slow to speak. Don't come into the altar of God, into the presence of God, and just begin to throw vows. God said, be careful. Because, you see, if you make a vow, you didn't fulfill it. I'm not a God that takes nonsense. Slow to speak, brethren. Count it all joy. Slow to wrath. Don't give room for anger. Receive the engrafted word of God as you are receiving it now. Say, Lord, what you have started in my life, I will be patient to receive your promise. Make that your prayer. Make that your prayer. Make that your prayer. Are you here this afternoon? And you are here to make Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You don't have part in what the Lord is saying this afternoon. You don't have any part in it. Or you are playing game, one leg in God, one leg in the world. This is the time to stand for righteousness. This is not the time to be one leg in sin and one leg in church. This is the time to say, I'm going to stand firm. Because to him that endure to the end, those are people that will be saved. So if you are here this afternoon, and you want to make Jesus as your Lord and Savior, or maybe you want to rededicate your life, please raise up your hand while we pray with you. As you raise it up, come forward. It's not too late to make that decision, but tomorrow might be too late. This is the time. This is the time. God loves you. Don't let what happened this ago. They told you that somebody impregnated your mom and that's how they gave birth to you. You don't know your father. Those are past. God loves you. He loves you. So you are here this afternoon. You want to say, Lord Jesus, please save my soul. Please come forward. It's not too late. It's not too late. The rest of you, begin to pray. The things that you have heard, he loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. You are enjoying the sun. He loves you. Don't let the situation tell you he doesn't love you. He loves 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 you.